It has been a joy to be with you over the last several days. Time moves so quickly, and which is really good, right? Thank you for being such good listeners. I really sense that you're listening, you're with me. Sometimes some of the topics maybe were a little bit tough, and maybe we skimmed over some topics, but that was just necessary. Thank you for having me here. A big thank you to Pastor Rod and the church here for inviting us to come. Thank you for being so gracious, and I would just encourage you as a congregation to be loving to your pastor and his family. And I'd like to say the same thing to you as a congregation from Vernon, to love Pastor Glantz and family, and even to love the Langs. Even though they're retired, you're not truly ever retired, there's still always things to do. I would suggest, and maybe you are doing it, take good care of them. Take good care of your pastor. It's really hard. It's almost probably said impossible to get things right for everyone. Some of you here this evening think maybe it's a little bit too bright in here. For some of you there, it might be a little bit too dark. For some, it might be too warm in here. Typically, when I speak, I sweat. So I'm warm, and you might be cold. Well, how do we work this out? Now, if you have one of the newer vehicles, you have dual settings on your heat and air conditioning, and that only works so and so far as well. Sometimes my wife has it differently set. Well, actually, usually she has it set differently than I do, and it still isn't perfect, so we can't do it. As pastors, we are fallible. We know that. Our messages are fallible. So help your pastor, pray for him, support him, love him. Give your pastor gifts of encouragement, and if you so choose, a Tim card every once in a while certainly would be appreciated. Or if they're busy, give them a gift card for the Keg. What was your favorite restaurant? Tell me quickly. He didn't ask me to say that, just so you know. This isn't planned. I step out and I sort of, you know. We're in this together. We want to make life easier for each other, right? That's my goal with you. That's our goal. And I think the journey to heaven is difficult enough as it is. Would you agree? It's difficult enough as it is. And why don't we have our church family, our fellowship of believers, making life easier for us? Now, having said that, I invited a group of special singers here tonight, which Pastor Rod doesn't even know about. The Kelowna Church will get the bill. I actually invited a quartet to come tonight and sing for us, and they will sing my favorite song. So if we could have that. It might not work.
It says that we should read the word and apply it to our lives, or let it reflect upon our lives as a mirror. And when I do that, sometimes I wonder why he just didn't give up on me. But praise God, he didn't. This song is a comforting thought. It says that he's still working on me.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the earth and the sun, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the earth and the sun, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me just as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay.
Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the earth and the sun, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
I think when we order, when we invite the, by the way, which group was that? The cathedrals from yesteryear, right? They aren't quite as young. I don't think all of them are living anymore, are they? I don't think the bass singer's living anymore. But anyway, they probably took a fee of $10,000 or more, and I'm going to be so generous to you, I am going to cover the cost this evening. So just thank you for the concert of them, and we'll just say we're even, okay? Is that okay with you? Works? You know, I just love that song. I YouTubed yesterday afternoon, and I listened to some children singing. We had the song this morning, which was done wonderfully. And I thought, just as an intro tonight, let's have that as well. Our conference theme, as most of us know, so maybe not all of us, was examination and transformation of the heart. And we want to finish. Actually, we're not finishing the theme tonight. We're just continuing. It is never finished. I was just wondering how a person will feel when you've entered heaven. What happens with this process then? Can we then say the transformation process is finished? We'll wait to heaven to answer that. If you read with me our verses that we've been studying, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, and here's this word, transformation, or the Greek word metamorphosis. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, this is defining us, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image, into His image. From glory to glory, this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We have freedom to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us, freedom to be at peace with this amazing transformation process. I recently read a book written by Joseph Bailey. He was a father of children, and he experienced the death of three of his children, one at 18 days after surgery, another child at 5 years old with leukemia, the third at 18 years old after a sledding accident. He wrote this: "We believe that in this world of evil, God's primary work for our children and us is not to shield us from suffering." He lost three children, so he knows what it means to go through difficulties. This is what he says. God's primary work for our children and us is not to shield us from suffering, but to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. The primary work of God in the life of a Christian, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. On Thursday, just a quick reminder, we talked about the importance of examination of our own hearts. On Friday, we talked about the most serious issue of dealing with excuses and blaming. This morning, we asked the question, how should I deal with the sliver in my own eye? And this evening, I'd briefly like to talk about and show us the result of what the transformation process looks like. Now, we know we're never finished that, but let's look at two men tonight that had brought it to a certain level. Our heart remains a construction site. We know that. This construction process never ends here on earth. Tonight, we want to briefly study Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. If you open your Bibles to Acts 13, we will be reading some verses out of that book. We read that they leave Antioch, go to Cyprus, from Cyprus to Paphos, Perga to Antioch and Pisidia. They leave Antioch, they go to Iconium, from Iconium they go to Lystra. And let's take it in Acts 14, verse 8. In Lystra, a man without strength in his feet, lame from birth and who has never walked, sat and heard Paul speaking. After observing him closely and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet," and he jumped up and started to walk around. This sick man is healed through the amazing power of God. As we know, this created a major issue. Jealous people do bad things. Jealous people influence others to do bad things with them. These people drag others down and influence them to be involved in things they would otherwise not be involved in. Let's jump to verse 19, Acts 14, 19. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and when they had won over the crowds, They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. So it started with this man being healed. It sort of ramped up. The jealous people came, created a kerfuffle. They stoned Paul. Those who threw stones thought he was dead. After his supposed death, they dragged him out of the city, and everything about this is truly vicious. We read then in verse 20. After the disciples surrounded him, he got up and went into the city. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Now, was he dead? Did God raise him from the dead? I'm not sure. I don't really know. But the next day, we read then in verse 21, in verse 20 here, the next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. The next day, after being stoned, after being dragged through the city, Paul is traveling again. We would say this is one tough guy. This is really a tough guy. This is a Christian who was intentional. What then? Verse 21 and 22. After they had evangelized that town and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the hearts of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it was necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. He gets stoned, gets dragged through the city. The next day he carries on. What then? They retrace their steps. They go back to the cities where there was this major resistance, and there they encourage the disciples. Our lesson tonight that I'd like to share with you is something that these two men show us, something that was inside of them, something that this transformation process had done in their lives. And the topic for tonight is the stoning of Paul did not stop them. The stoning of Paul did not stop them. Now, the process of stoning is vicious. It's vicious for the person getting stoned. It is horrendous for the person throwing the stones. The dragging out of the city, I sat and I thought, tried to think this thing through, is vicious. There was every reason to believe that he was dead. The blood, the wounds, all pointed in that direction. The stoning happened in Lystra. The next day they go to Derbe. And what did they do there? They preached the good news about Jesus Christ. After they had evangelized that town and made many disciples. Can you imagine that? through his swollen lips, through his bruises and boils and pain, and maybe we see how blue his face was because they stoned him, they preached and made many disciples. Many became Christians. Then they did what? They backtracked, went back to Lystra, where he had been stoned, then to Iconium, and on to Antioch. In every one of these cities, they had come across major resistance and persecution, and they did not detour these cities. They did not hide in these cities. They did not avoid these cities. Scripture tells us, strengthening the hearts of the disciples by encouraging them. The stoning did not stop them. They knew what they had. There was no way they were going to quit talking about their Lord and Master. To me, it seems as if the stoning encouraged them, pushed them to strengthen the souls of the disciples, to encourage them to continue in their faith, telling them about tribulations as part of being a Christian. Now imagine when Paul got up to preach in this city, he told them that serving the Lord was the best thing. And as he was preaching to them, maybe he sometimes had to get out his cloth and wipe off the blood as it was still. Because remember, it's just recent. And maybe we just saw so much wound in him. He got up and he told them never to give up. He told them never to be distracted. He told them that being a Christian is really tough at times. And the people listened. Why? Because he was a living example of that. If he went through that and can still honor the Lord, wow, then he has something in him that we desire as well. And I'd like to remind us, if we never face persecution, then there may be something wrong with us. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, and we'll get back to this in a little bit, but let me just read this one verse. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, which we want to do, will be persecuted. This afternoon, I read the book of Frances Havergal. As I mentioned this morning, I have it on my Kindle. She wrote a book regarding the song that we sang at the beginning. And part of it is Take My Lips, Take My Song. And she wrote about Take My Lips. Do you know that there's Christians that say, I don't need to say anything about Jesus. My walk will convince people. She then asks the question, and it's a very pointed question. How many people do you know found Christ by zero words? And she says, none. And I don't know if that's what she is saying. You have to talk about Jesus, is her point. Take my lips and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to live, yes, but we also need to talk. We need to speak about Jesus. We need to move beyond just our daily politics talk and weather talk and sports talk and all that talk. We want to talk about Jesus. Paul says, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, which we certainly want to do, will be persecuted. The stoning did not stop them. They had every reason to stop. They had every reason to run, to head for the hills, to hide. They had every reason to fly under the radar, but they didn't. Why? Because of what was in them. In time of crisis, it will show what is in us. I'd like to remind us of that. It's easy to live a Christian life when everything is good. But what when it's not good? What when crisis hits? Then what is in us will truly show, right? If we have tenacity, if we have perseverance, if our life is grounded in Jesus, if we truly believe he leads us correctly, if we truly believe that the goodness of God will carry us through these times, that's what these men had in them. And that's why they didn't quit. That's why they didn't run. That's why they didn't hide, because of what was in them. Have we ever stopped? Is anyone here this evening that is stopped right now? Have any of you given up? Have we quit? Have we said that it is just too tough, too unfair? Have we? Have we been too disappointed? Do we know that being disappointed in a person is part of our process of learning? Do we know that? God wants to loosen our fingers from people and that we learn to cling to Him. And sometimes being disappointed in people is the greatest thing for us, so that we loosen our hold on people and that we start clinging to our Master even more. Oh, what a lesson to learn. People are changeable. Things are changeable. Our times are changeable. Business is changeable. Right? We are in a process of major change here in Canada, in the whole Western world. What we could have never imagined 20 years ago, we have. And I don't know what's going to happen in another 20 years if we continue this downward slide. But we do know that God is still with us, and God is on our side, and God leads correctly. And ultimately, He will have His way with all of this, and He will bring His children through. We know victory is on our side. Do you ever read or listen to audiobooks? Any of you listen to audiobooks? I love listening to audiobooks. I'm listening to an audiobook now, and I already know the end of the story. So sometimes when I listen to it, and so-and-so is getting frustrated, and so-and-so is not doing what they should be, I think, come on, buddy. I know how it's going to end. You're going to make it through. And sometimes I'm so caught up in the story. My hero is struggling and he doesn't know how to continue. But I know he's going to make it. He's going to make it. In the same way, victory. Now, we believe in conditional eternal security. As we walk with God and stay close to God, He will be totally faithful to us. Victory is ours. So we don't want to quit. Have we ever been too disappointed? Is anyone dealing with depression here this evening? You know, depression is really real. It's really real. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there when life was very dark, very dreary, very lonely. And dark thoughts come that one certainly doesn't wish for. I get it. And sometimes we sure feel like quitting. In those moments, we are to focus on Jesus. Really, we are. When we focus on people, we will be disappointed. We need to learn to love people, care for them, but always know our trust is in God. God does not disappoint us. Or does He? I've had the privilege of being a Christian for over 41 years now. Starts sounding a little bit old. And He has never, never disappointed me. I fear, though, that some people who have gone through some tough times have really slowed down. Some are waiting to die and go to heaven. And they're just waiting for that and are okay with that. But I don't think that's the right attitude. I don't think we should throw in the towel and say, let others do it. You know, the fact of the matter is others will do it, and we will miss out on many blessings, and we will miss out on our own personal spiritual growth. Sometimes God moves us and nudges us and asks us to step out of the boat. When Jesus was on the water, Peter says to Him, Lord, can I come to Him? And Jesus says, come. And he's got to get out of the water and out of the boat and step in the water. What an amazing faith. Have you ever walked on water? You know, sometimes we talk about Him sinking, but let's talk about Him walking on the water. How amazing. And God sometimes nudges us out of our comfort zone, and we say, Lord, I can't do it. It's so beyond me. Why? I just want to work through you. I want to just work through that weak vessel. If you read with me Psalm 92, from verse 12. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in the Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courtyards of our God. They still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green, referring to the fruit. So for those of us who are older, someone said recently they think that when you're 50 years old, you're old. I said, I disagree with that totally. I personally think, and I'm not quite sure, this is just my theory today, I think at 70, we finally hit the pinnacle. Could be 75. Not sure. Wait till I'm 70 and I'll tell you. Might be 85 by then. But being 50 years old certainly doesn't make us old. And I'm 58 years old, and if you think I'm old, you're wrong, just so you know. Nobody up there, none of you, don't say anything. Listen. They still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. To declare the Lord is just, he is my rock. What I wish for myself and for those of you who are older, that we declare this. That we declare the Lord is just, he is my rock. When you get opportunity to have testimony, you all should be running up here. There should be a lineup of 20 people. I'm going to declare that the Lord is my rock. Because that's what Scripture wants me to do. Well, it's hard for me to get up here. Well, you know what? It's not. Don't kid yourself. For some of us who are speakers, it doesn't come easy either. This is what we're called to do. We're called to proclaim, to declare the Lord is just, he is my rock. When those that are 70 and 80 and 85 years old get up and they say, man, it was fabulous serving the Lord. I went through this and this and this and this and that, and God was always faithful. I take my hats off to these people. That's what I want to hear. And more than that, that's what I would like to become. So for those of you who are younger, we got to do it today. We will only become more of what we are today. If we are not doing that today, we will not do it there. If we're not busy working for the Lord today, we will not do that later. We will only become more of what we are. Therefore, we have to make a conscious effort of being what we would like to be in order to become that when we're older. And honor God through that. That's so important. The stoning, prison, old age did not stop Paul. The fact of the matter is, when I look at this, the stoning drove him to do more. The stoning showed him the dark side of evil. He then determined to do even more. Many followers of Jesus have been hurt and disappointed. Some have been hurt deeply. Some of the things that some followers of Jesus Christ had to deal with has been awful. Hurtful words have been spoken. Family members have been hurt and put down. But let's remember something. The stoning that Paul suffered did not come from God. God did not stone him. Remember that. Sometimes we want to blame God when we're stoned. It didn't come from God. So why should Paul quit serving God? Why should this cause him to quit? The stoning came from people who really needed help. The stoning came from people who really needed help, and Paul was determined to help them, right? That's why he backtracked. Otherwise, he could have gone on a totally different loop and say, I'm not going back there. Those people are really mean to me. Do you know what they did last time I showed up there? He was determined to help them. Why? Because that was in his heart. The transformation of the heart had taken place. And he had something that was so valuable. He was so convinced of what he had. He had to share it. So if we have been stoned, what should we do? What should our response be? Let's go back to our lesson out of Acts 14. Verse 22. Let's just take 21 again. After they had evangelized that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the hearts of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in faith, and by telling them it is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. What should our response be? Number one, let's strengthen the disciples. strengthening the hearts of the disciples. As we have received strength to deal with the stoning, let's encourage others. Let's strengthen their hold in Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, if I could only help you with that, I don't want you to cling to a person or to a creed. I want you to cling to Jesus Christ, because in the darkest moments of life, this is what you will need. Wednesday morning, a week ago, so almost 2 weeks ago, I stood in the hospital, in the bathroom, with more pain than I have ever experienced in my life. And I was bleeding. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I just don't know. I'm so sore. I'm bleeding." Did he take care of me? I managed to make it back to bed. The nurse graciously brought me a warm blanket to soothe my body a little bit. But you know what? In that moment, there was no one, but Christ was there. Christ was there to help me through in this deep valley, and he's there for us all the time. Let's strengthen. I would like to strengthen your hold on Christ in those dark valleys of life. Let's share how wonderful Christ is as we deal with him, how he has dealt with us. Let's share how he has helped us through. Paul goes through these towns, strengthening the hearts of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in faith. Let's strengthen their hold on Scripture. Scripture is an amazing book for you as young people, for all of us. Let's read it. Let's reread it. If we read it 20 times, I think I'm on, I don't even know, time 37 or 38 now that I've read it through. And I read it through once a year since I was 21 years old, and I want to read it God-giving till I die. What an amazing book, the blending of the old and the new, the blending of these verses and that verses. Wow, sometimes I say, "Lord, I'm not even worthy of that, but bless." Let's strengthen their hold on prayer. When things happen, we need to pray. When we feel weak, we can pray. When we don't know the way, let's pray. When life overwhelms us, let's pray. So what should we do? What should our response be? It says they strengthened the heart of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in faith. Let's encourage others to continue. There is no giving up. There's no quitting. Being a Christian is the best thing in life. And as I mentioned to you, I deal with inmates at the Calgary Reman. I've interviewed hundreds of inmates from all walks of life. Some are addicted to gambling. They lost everything. Alcohol and drugs and you name it. And again, I tell them being a Christian is the best thing in life. And now at some of their stages in life, they want to come to Christ. So what we have, what it protects us from, is amazing. So we want to encourage those to continue in faith. Let's tell them how God has helped us over the years. And I would ask you who are older, share more of that. It's not bragging. You know, sometimes the person thinks he's proud. You know what? We can do it to the glory of God, right? We can do that to the glory of God. Let's never blame God when things go wrong. Let's reach out to him for help, because God never changes. And thirdly, what he said here, it is necessary, and by telling them, it is necessary to pass through many troubles. Isn't that great? We don't stick in the troubles. I love this. We pass through. We have the saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and sometimes the tunnel seems awfully long. But there is an end. That's the amazing thing. Paul says, by telling them, it is necessary to pass through many troubles. Let's be honest and transparent about the things God brings us through. Others want to hear about our tough times and how we made it through these times. Being a Christian isn't always easy. There are things that hurt us. There are distractions. People will not agree with us. The religious order of the day may not like us. It is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. We have PC Christians today that drive me up the wall. Politically correct Christians. Oh, let's not be offensive. Let's not be offensive. Man, have you ever read your Bible? Come on, there are times where we have to, this is true. And I go to the reman and I have a great heart for the people, but sometimes I certainly lecture them because they need to be lectured. And I tell them the truth. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And when someone talks to me about a different religion, I say, excuse me, that religion doesn't accept my Jesus. And I have to tell them that because that is truth. Right? But the PC Christians don't want to offend. And in never offending, they offend everyone. And I certainly am offended by them. Because what they do is then they allow everything. And soon everything is everything. And there's nothing, no right and no wrong anymore. And let's talk about the tribulations. Back to 2 Timothy 3. Let's read the verses 10 to 12. And here Paul sort of repeats what he went through. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, he was transparent. We can tell others how we're struggling. Well, we really can't tell others how we struggle because we're used to being too perfect. You know, it's so sad. It is so sad that some of us grew up like that. And I'm just encouraging us. Transparency is not that there's things that should remain private, right? You get me. But we certainly can become more transparent. What we struggle with, what we're dealing with. This is what Paul says. Look at what persecutions I endured. And then he goes on, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. Tough times will come and go. Tough times are there. What have the tough times done to us, though? How have we worked through those tough times? Now back to our lesson here in Acts 14, in verse 26 and 27. From there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been trusted to the grace of God for the work they had completed. After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The first missionary journey therefore comes to an end. The work is fulfilled. It's finished. They had done their best. When they started the journey, they certainly didn't know what to expect. Now as they look back, they saw the hand of God. They saw the power of God. They saw the grace of God. And I think in the journeys of our life, we too, when looking back, will see the amazing hand of God. Wow, we'll be sometimes amazed that that really happened that way. Why did that happen? So that happened and that happened. Really, the amazing, faithful hand of God. It says here, they reported everything that God had done with them, including the stoning, including being dragged through a city. But you don't hear that was that bad. God helped us through it. That's so important. So I would really like to encourage us tonight that we don't quit. We look at that journey, whatever happened there, the stoning didn't stop them. They worked through it. Let me read a poem for you. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure comes about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Relentless persistence. I don't know what God will lead you through in your life. I don't know what's involved in our transformation process. We're different. We go through different things. But Paul writes, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into that same image. God never wants to give up on us. Let's allow him to continue his work in us as he proceeds with that. If you want to start tonight, and now I don't know every one of you. I don't know the young people and the children. Maybe there's someone here tonight that isn't a follower of Jesus, and you would like to become a follower of Jesus. We would like to give you that opportunity tonight. I went forward when I was a 10-year-old boy, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and that helped me so much over the next difficult years of my own life. If there are things that need to be corrected between you and the Lord, you can do that tonight. If you want to start the process of transformation tonight, you can. And maybe there's someone here tonight that would like to pray with a pastor or just talk. We invite you for that as well. But I truly wish all of you God's blessing, all the best. As we grow, as we allow God to transform us into his image, that we truly allow him to do that.